Getting to Know AOPA's New President, A Few Minutes with Craig Fuller. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. On January 1st, Craig Fuller will take over from Phil Boyer as president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Today, we'll hear the conclusion of Jim Campbell's conversation with Craig, which we started in yesterday's special feature.
I'd like to get a little bit more on your aviation background. And then I'd like to hear why you think aviation deserves to be defended among the general public.
I had a father who was in the Army Air Corps and a pilot and an instructor, as a matter of fact. He didn't leave the United States. He served in Coffeyville, Kansas, where he met my mother. They got married, and they and I grew up in California. And at a very young age, I think I had my first opportunity to be in a general aviation aircraft during a family vacation in Oregon where we got up in a seaplane. So I was talking to the head of the Seaplane Pilots Association the other day and recalled that the first flight I took was actually in a seaplane. The interest grew. I took my flight instruction as a private pilot in Buchanan Field in Concord, California, and flew at 16, got my license when I was 17, flew throughout California. At UCLA, was in the flying club and stayed active. And when I graduated from college, I was able to use an aircraft for trips to primarily to Sacramento, San Francisco, and then on business, as well as to fly around California for personal and pleasure reasons. But so I stayed active, and I ultimately purchased a Cessna Cutlass in 1979 and got my instrument rating and flew that all over the western states as a consultant in a young public affairs firm called Deaver and Hannaford, which happened to have as its principal client Ronald Reagan. And when he got elected, the firm changed ownership somewhat. I came to Washington and ultimately brought the aircraft with me a couple months later and flew across the country. And ironically, when I met some of the AOPA folks who looked me up when they realized that I was at the White House, they needed an aircraft for the Air Safety Foundation, and so the Cessna Cutlass for a few years was actually used by AOPA and the staff to attend Air Safety Foundation events and other things. I left government in 1989. I continued to fly and stay current. I was in all kinds of private aircraft on business and in government, of course. The Air Force took care of the flying. We went to some 60 countries and every state in the nation while I was chief of staff to Vice President Bush. But when I left government, I continued to fly, and I sold the airplane in the 90s. Wasn't able to purchase another one until I purchased a new Beechcraft Bonanza A36 in 2003, and I have been pleased to fly that 200 to 230 hours every year since then. My wife and I recently, this last summer, decided to go sailing in the San Juan Islands, and we flew from Leesburg, Virginia, where it's based, to Bellingham, Washington, and back, and had just a wonderful trip. So, I fly the airplane a great deal. I've multi-engine rated. I've taken a look at that, but for the time being, I'm sticking with the Bonanza, and I'll fly some of the AOPA aircraft, of course. As a matter of fact, I was out today. Your timing is good. I was out today in the Archer, our sweepstakes airplane, and we happened to have about as good a day for flying today here in Frederick, Maryland, as you can imagine. So I've now logged a little bit of time on the sweepstakes plane, and someone's going to be very happy with that aircraft, I'll tell you that.
Makes you wonder whether or not you should really give it up, right?
Well, I don't want to make too much news here, but we have another one lined up for next year, so we're definitely going to give away give this one away later next year.
Well, it's not too late to renegotiate your deal a little bit if they'll throw the Archer in.
Well, there's a thought.
Such a deal. Okay. Well, the primary question then becomes, how do you defend general aviation against all negativity that can occur over the course of, of our political lifetime with the general public?
It's a very good question. I start almost from a historical standpoint that aviation has been such an important part of this country from its inception in terms of aircraft through to today, that it's one of those parts of the fabric of America that I think absolutely deserves and requires to be defended. It's the case in Washington and in state houses that there are always forces at play whether it's seeking funding or whether it's seeking to restrict freedom or to enhance freedom. And so for those of us at AOPA and those of us who defend general aviation from whatever organization you're part of, it's a very important task, and it doesn't happen without a good deal of work. I think that what many opinion leaders and policymakers, and I start with those two first, because I think those two groups, opinion leaders and policymakers, are where we can have real impact. I definitely do want to help educate and encourage a better understanding about general aviation with the general public. But I think in terms of affecting some of the immediate issues it faces, we have to reach policymakers and opinion leaders. And having been in a government position at a fairly high level in the White House, I can tell you that many of my colleagues simply had no idea the kind of contribution that general aviation makes day in and day out. I think that's true today. I think it's true throughout Washington. It's not for lack of trying, and this is not a critique or criticism of the past. It really is simply a case that people change constantly in these jobs. There are many, many different pressures and issues that are confronting them. Obviously the economic issues are the forefront today. And so you've got to constantly be in front of people in these environments in order to make your case and to defend aviation. But I go to communities and I see them excited about the extension of a runway, the fact that there's going to be more jet traffic or turbine traffic or twin engine traffic at their airports that are going to bring business people, or they're going to bring people to go to resorts or hotels. Increase economic activity, and those are the kinds of stories that we need to get out in front of people. This is yes, it's fun, yes, it's a passion for many of us, probably almost all of us who fly, but there are important economic attributes associated with it. There's the ability to move people for medical reasons, to survey agricultural crops. There's just so many of these areas that general aviation is involved in day in and day out that happen without people understanding it. We were posing a few of us the other day a question of what would happen if for one day there was no general aviation activity whatsoever across the country, and that may be a theme we pursue a little bit to see if we can help people understand what the contribution is. So I am definitely passionate about flying, but I'm equally as passionate about defending our ability and our right to fly and making sure that people who are part of the general aviation community in sort of various segments, whether they're flying light sport aircraft. We had a gentleman tour the office here today who'd come down from Pennsylvania and is a light sport aircraft pilot, and he's here to take a maintenance class. And whether it's defending their right to do what they do, or frankly, our friends who are flying turbine aircraft for business purposes, their right to do what they do without onerous fees being attached. It's all part of the mission, and it's, as I say, it's all part of a piece of America that goes back many, 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 many years, and something that if we don't pay attention to it, freedoms and rights can be lost, and so that's why we're in this fight.
We'll be back for more with ANN's Jim Campbell and incoming AOPA President Craig Fuller in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. Today, we're wrapping up a conversation between ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell and Craig Fuller, who takes over as President of AOPA January 1st.
If you had to put together a hit list, if you would, the targets, the ones that concern you the most for, say, the first 12 calendar months that you can foresee, just as you're getting your feet on the ground and getting up to liftoff speed, shall we say, or at least a point of rotation, what are they? What are the things that tend to concern you the most that we're going to have to face in 2009?
The specific issues are, I think, probably the sort of well-known hit parade, I'll put it that way. I'm very concerned that the new administration is going to immediately be given a list of places they can go to get additional revenue because there's going to be such pressure on the budget, the federal budget. And on that list, we may see user fees again as a solution or as a partial solution to helping fund the next generation air traffic control and the FAA's operations. And so I think the user fee issue, while it was won this year in 2008, is something that we're going to have to be vigilant to protect against with this next administration, simply because of the pressures on finances. I do think that there's probably going to be a change in the administration with respect to the environment, where there'll be additional pressure on leaded fuel and making sure that we have the ability to continue to get the aviation fuel we need for many of our aircraft, where there is no substitute available for leaded fuel at the present time, is going to be critically important. I would expect in the course of the first term of the next president that we'll have to come to some kind of a decision on a transition path, meaning that it won't change immediately. But there's going to have to be some path by which we deal with the fuel, the lead in fuel, and that's an issue. I do believe that there'll be pressure on airports with the financial pressure at the federal level is what we read about a lot. But our states are also under a great deal of financial pressure, and the ability to fund airports, airport expansion, airport maintenance, you know, just keeping airports open is something that we're really going to have to work on. So those are some of the specific issues. The overarching issue that I'm working and thinking a lot about has to do with this whole question of how we educate the policymaker and the opinion leader. How can we do a better job of communicating more broadly our message so that there's a better appreciation of what general aviation is contributing? To the extent that particularly policymakers, congressional staff, elected officials, and others, to the extent they're ignorant of that fact, we in general aviation are vulnerable. So we really have to be aggressive, I think, in a time of transition in Washington, D.C. and in some of the states. We really have to be very aggressive to get our message out. We've actually spent more time, and we've already put resources into our government affairs program to bolster it as we go into 2009, because we have this presidential transition that with the principles already being announced and going full force now into to work on the new president's plan that after he takes office on January 20th, he will begin to roll out, and so the work has already begun in this area. But it's that overarching question of how do we enhance the perception of general aviation that I think can help us on several of our specific issues.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's no lack of challenges ahead of you. It's just one of these, a job like yours has to be the double-edged sword where you have all these amazing things you're going to get to say and do, and that's something I think we share in common, because from a standpoint of being immersed in aviation every day, it's just babes in toyland. It's just wonderful. But the other side of that sword is all the things that threaten it, all the things that can diminish its impact, diminish its enjoyment, and diminish its ability to be used by people across the country. And in that regard, boy, I'll tell you what, I can only wish you the very, very best, and indicate to you that we'll be looking very much forward to covering and supporting and just seeing how your presidency of an amazing organization proceeds. And we can do nothing but wish you the best. And more important than anything else, just appreciate the fact that with your background and everything else, that you're willing to step up and take the bull by the horns.
Well, I thank you for that very much, and I look forward to working with and being available to you. I also want to commend you. I think the ability to reach people in the very innovative ways in which you do it, on behalf of general aviation, to tell our story is very, very important. And so I'm grateful to what you're doing and what your colleagues are doing. And I look forward to traveling these airways with you.
Craig, thanks so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing you in a few days.
Okay, my pleasure. Take care.
The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association can be found on the web at www.aopa.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.